Granite and Park City School District expand their pre-K programs thanks to Goldman Sachs. The U.S. Supreme Court rules that a Utah company can't patent jeans. And Dan Nalen gives us a look ahead to Wingfest. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Friday, June 14th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Granite and Park City school districts are getting a funding boost for their preschool programs thanks to an investment deal with Goldman Sachs and Chicago investor J.B. Pritzker. The money will provide hundreds of low-income kids in those districts access to preschool programs they might otherwise be waitlisted for. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Goldman Sachs has signed off on a $4.6 million loan, while Chicago investor J.B. Pritzker is providing $2.4 million. Whether they'll see a return on that investment depends solely on the success of the programs. But Andrea Phillips with Goldman Sachs says it's not a risky deal.
Like we would look at any investment, we spent a lot of time looking at the underlying track record, getting comfortable with who the partners are that are delivering this service. Based on our review of all of that and our due diligence, we do expect to get repaid.
Phillips says a broad body of research shows the long-term value of high-quality preschool.
We think this is a potentially important new financial instrument for helping finance social and human services, particularly as we're in a time of diminished government resources.
The concept was modeled after a bill sponsored by Republican State Senator Aaron Osman this legislative session. Had it passed, it would have expanded early education programs across the state by encouraging businesses to invest in preschools in exchange for the cost savings they deliver. The state would only be required to pay back the loan if the program succeeded. But since the bill failed, United Way of Salt Lake and Voices for Utah Children joined Granite and Park City Schools to develop the model locally. Bill Krim is with United Way of Salt Lake. He says Granite and Park City qualified for financing because they had several years' worth of data showing their pre-K programs close achievement gaps and save money. Krim says it doesn't matter the type of program as much as the data.
Any preschool that can demonstrate the precise results of helping the public sector and taxpayers avoid costs down the road could be eligible for, an upfront investment.
According to Granite School District, their pre-K program saved the state more than $2,000 per child over 12 years by helping them avoid remediation. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
The U.S. Supreme Court struck down some of Myriad Genetics' patents today on its breast and ovarian cancer test, but the Salt Lake City company is focusing on what the ruling left intact. Myriad officials say the company still has 24 different patents. KUER's Andrea Smartin reports.
Myriad Genetics' test, known as BRAC analysis, determines if a patient has an increased risk of hereditary breast and ovarian cancer. It's been used by more than a million women, most famously by actress Angelina Jolie, whose test results led to a high-profile decision to have a double mastectomy. Up until now, Myriad sells the only gene test of its kind. The high court's decision may open up the market for competitors, but Myriad still has some protection. While the Supreme Court ruled that naturally occurring DNA was not patentable, the ruling says that synthetically created DNA can be patented because it's not naturally occurring. Also, the company's method claims were not challenged. Myriad Chief Executive Officer Peter Meldrum said in a statement that the ruling ensures, quote, strong intellectual property protection of the BRAC analysis test moving forward, end quote. Investors had mixed reactions to the news. Myriad stock unexpectedly jumped up more than 10% on the NASDAQ after the ruling, then dropped to close down 5.6%. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
A federal judge is warning Jeremy Johnson that he could go back to jail if his wife doesn't take down a website that criticizes the federal government. U.S. Magistrate Judge Paul Warner said yesterday that Charlotte Johnson's website violates the gag order he issued last month. Johnson is accused of 86 counts of fraud and money laundering in the operation of his iWorks and associated companies. Johnson's attorney, Ron Yengich, told the judge Johnson and his wife are two independent individuals. Public health departments in Utah are hoping to prevent another outbreak of cryptosporidium, a waterborne parasite that forced a number of public swimming pools to shut down a couple of years ago. They're beginning another public awareness campaign today at the Taylorsville Recreation Center. The main message is to stay out of public pools if you've been sick with diarrhea. Utah's minority population is growing twice as fast as the white population in the state. Figures from the U.S. Census Bureau says there were 2.7 more minority residents from 2011 to 2012, while the white population increased by 1.2%. Minorities represent about a third of Utah's total population. Latinos are about 14% of the total. A report from the Lumina Foundation ranks Utah 19th in the country for college attainment. That's up from 20th place in its previous report. It found just over 40% of working-age adults had a two-year or four-year college degree in 2011. Governor Gary Herbert announced a plan last fall to reach 66% college attainment by 2020. A fire burned about 25 acres on a hillside near Saratoga Springs yesterday. The Deseret News reports crews had it contained by about 10:30 p.m. Another grass fire threatened a few homes in Provo on Thursday night. It was started by downed power lines. A father jumped into Otter Creek Reservoir on Wednesday to rescue his son, who'd gone into the cold water to retrieve a hat. The 12-year-old was rescued, but the father drowned. Paiute County Sheriff Marty Gleave says Jeremy William Gunter of Cedar City helped to get his son back in the boat, but then went under himself. Neither had been wearing life jackets. Gunter was from Cedar City. He was 35. A 14-year-old Boy Scout was injured yesterday when a tree fell on him. The Great Salt Lake Council says the boy was participating in an event at the Hinckley Scout Ranch near Evanston, Wyoming, when strong winds pushed the tree over. He had a broken arm, a broken leg, and other injuries. He was flown to Primary Children's Medical Center in Salt Lake City. The Utah Department of Transportation will close I-15 in the Ogden area tonight and tomorrow night. The closure will take place at 10 p.m. It will reopen at 7 o'clock in the morning. It will include the area between Riverdale Road and 31st Street. The closures will allow construction work on the bridge carrying I-84 over I-15.
More often than not, Dan Nalen is talking about music when he looks at Salt Lake City's entertainment choices. Now and then, it's art or theater, but today he can't pass up a chance to celebrate chicken wings.
This is a 21 and over wing fest that's happening in downtown Salt Lake City this weekend. Saturday from noon to 7. I don't know how I missed this thing last year because I am a wing nut, so to speak, right? But they have...
It's been said, yes.
It's been said. Last year they had 800 people and they went through more than 9,000 wings. This year they're expecting 2,500 people down there. They're closing off a city block on Pierpont Ave between West Temple and Second West. It's down there by the Lumpy's downtown in the Inferno. They judge the wings and the public is part of the judging as well as some so-called celebrity judges on, the classic buffalo wings, exotic flavored wings. But really the great deal is for $20, anybody can walk in as long as you're 21, eat all the wings you want all afternoon, which could be dangerous for sure, depending on the spice. But it's a lot of the wing places that you know around town, Sugar House Barbecue Company, the aforementioned Wing Nuts, Wingers, all these different companies are involved. Should be a good time. There's also cornhole tournaments, flip cup tournaments, sort of, it's like a tailgate party in downtown Salt Lake all afternoon.
I was walking through Ridgewood, Queens. I was flipping through magazines. I was so should I eat this? I was so starving.
And there's some music too.
There is some great stuff happening. There's a band called Parquet Courts, who is probably my favorite new band of this year. Their first record, Light Up Gold, came out this year. They're originally from Texas, but moved to New York and definitely have more of an urban New York sound. Your typical kind of three chords and cloud of dust rock and roll band. Really good stuff. They're playing at the Urban Lounge on Tuesday. Before that, though, Friday night, John Spencer Blues Explosion. Been around 20 years. This is their first album in 8 years that they're touring on. That'll be a blast. That's at Urban Lounge. Also Friday night, Tim McGraw bringing his gigantic country show out to the USANA Amphitheater out in West Valley City. And then on Saturday at the Sandy City Amphitheater, Rhonda Vincent, who is this amazing bluegrass mandolin player, she's headlining out there in Sandy. So they're really diversifying their offerings out there at the Sandy Amphitheater this year.
Dan Nalen reports on entertainment for KUER and blogs at slcene.com.
And that is your KUER News Pod for Friday, June 14th. For the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org and follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.